The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Tonight's feature presentation is the 1997 Jack Frost. Boo. And I will be starting us off with the 6-minute synopsis, which is where I will take 6 minutes to summarize the film, top to bottom. We'll then take a quick break for some beverage. Thank God, because we're going to need it for this one.
Beverage.
And then we'll wrap up the evening with a 6-pack rating, where we let you know how very drunk you must be to enjoy this film. But before we attend to all those affairs, let's say hi, everybody. My name is Pete. On my left is...
Dave. Hello.
And we have Kathleen also.
Hello.
Troy, how's it going?
Good.
Fantastic. Good to see you guys. How was everybody's holiday?
It was awesome, actually.
Wonderful.
Yes, it was quite lovely.
Well, Dave, you were overseas.
Yes, I was in London and Edinburgh and Dublin, briefly.
Kick ass. Did you go to Scotland, too?
Edinburgh is in Scotland, yes.
Oh. I'm going home.
Start over, take two.
Sorry, folks in Scotland, I suck.
It is a lovely country, no matter what the Scots tell you. It's actually really nice. I really enjoyed myself. London was great. It was London. I mean, what else can you say about it, really? And Dublin was lovely as well for the 18 hours I was there.
I was over in Dublin in 96 and really had a good time over there.
Very cool. It was. How much of it did you spend sober?
Well, we marched in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin, Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. I was sober for that.
Okay.
And it was a 12-day trip, I think. So that's about it.
Say no more.
Bars close early there. Or did back then. But you can order as many beers as you want at the end of the night. Like at 11 o'clock when they close, you can order the beers. So we'd go order like 5 Guinness each.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't kick you out till you were done.
Interesting. So they stopped selling early.
They stopped serving, but they remained open.
The night rolls on.
Yeah, I don't know what the thought process is there.
Yeah. So it's the last.
I'd be curious. All of our listeners in Dublin, that'd be great if you could clarify why the bars close or stop serving early but stay open.
Late. Well, in the States, you have to realize that our bars close at like 2 or 4, depending on what state you're in. I mean, some close at midnight, some close at 6, some no, don't close. And it probably contributes to our crippling alcoholism problem.
Maybe. It might. So, good to hear.
But yes, it was lovely. It was great. We really enjoyed it. It was actually our anniversary. No, not our anniversary. We had been married a year.
It was your delayed honeymoon.
It was our honeymoon. Yes.
Yes.
And we did get a lot of puzzled looks when we told people that we were in Scotland for our honeymoon. Like, really? Why Scotland?
Shouldn't you be in the south somewhere?
Yeah. Shouldn't you be somewhere that's warm and not Scotland?
At least in December. I mean, really, Scotland in December?
Like somebody coming to December Columbus, Ohio for vacation.
Right.
You're in Columbus, Ohio for vacation?
And we heard a honeymoon, like, are you sure? But no, it was a lot of fun.
So, well, let's start this shit. As we mentioned earlier, tonight's film is Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Since there are 6 beers in a 6-pack, I am getting 6 minutes to give you the lowdown, top to bottom, what this turd is all about. And I timed it out earlier today. I was 10 seconds over.
Oh, boy. Well, I have the timer ready.
It's tight.
I feel like practicing is almost cheating now.
No. Because I practiced... like right when I got up this morning and I was 2 minutes over. Like, oh, God.
2 minutes over?
I was 2 minutes over.
Like, you got a lot to say about this.
God. Yeah. Well,
there's a lot of nothing happens.
A lot of nothing happens. There's a lot of cuts, a lot of things, and a lot of foreshadowing that is just ridiculous. So if you do watch this film, there's a lot cut out. So, but nothing that you could possibly need to see. You need to see.
It's nothing you need to see.
Really? It's yeah, it's not good. So here we go, Jack Frost. Who's got the timer ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Ready? Go.
We start with a voiceover as Uncle Henry, writer-director Michael Cooney, is telling his unnamed niece a happy, scary bedtime story about Jack Frost, a serial killer. Uncle Henry tells his niece that Jack is on his way to be executed that very night, and she now needs to go to sleep. We cut to a driving snowstorm and the van delivering Jack to the execution, which of course collides with a chemical truck that is marked GCC Genetic Research. Jack survives the collision but is showered by chemicals, and Jack is literally fused with the snow around him. As the pile of snow grows and starts to move, the last surviving guard opens fire. And we cut to the Taylor family driving home, which introduces us to Sheriff Sam, the small-time cop who apprehended Jack. He is distracted with thoughts of how Jack vowed to get revenge. The family drives by the wreckage, and Sam is dismissed by the officer, stating, "This is a federal matter, move along, nothing to see." As the Taylors get home, son Ryan is making some sort of oatmeal goo on the stove and asks Sam about Jack. Sam assures him that Jack is gone forever as Ryan fills up a Ziploc bag with the hot goo. He gives Sam the bag and tells him it's for his lunch, and like a good dad, Sam tosses it in the squad car and he brings it home with, or brings it to work with him. Sam stops by the community center. We are introduced to some short-lived characters that are getting ready for the annual Snowminton Snowman Contest, including a fresh-faced Shannon Elizabeth. Next, Sam is sent out by his dispatcher to investigate a murder. Sam meets the deputies at the crime scene where old man Harper seems to have been dragged out of his home and had his neck broken. The mystery thickens as there is no sign of forced entry and there are no tracks leading up to the house. Sam calls the FBI and an ancient manners assures Sam that Jack was killed in the accident the night before. Sam's wife comes home from grocery shopping to a large snowman without a face in the front yard. Instead of wondering who trespassed in her front yard, she gives Ryan a carrot and tells him to give the snowman a proper face. As Ryan puts the final touches on the snowman, he turns away just in time to miss the formation of teeth, revealing the snowman is actually Jack Frost. At this time, a gang of bullies, led by Billy, tells Ryan that they are sledding here and to get out of their way. As Billy continues to bully Ryan, the other thugs start sledding, and in a confusing sequence of events, Jack the Snowman pushes Billy, causing one of the sledding thugs to run over his neck, severing Billy's head and sending it comically flying through the air. Later, we see Billy's father, Jake, grieving Billy's death while his wife Sally is in denial. Jake steps outside for a smoke and is killed by Jack with an axe, prompting Jack to say, "I only axed you for a smoke. Eat your heart out, Freddy Krueger." A few scenes later, Jack puts an end to Sally as Paul, the hardware store owner, witnesses the whole thing and runs away. Later that evening, the police stop by to check on the Metzner family, only to find them murdered. Sam goes back to the station to find Agent Manners already conveniently there with Agent Stone. Manners says Old Man Harper's death matches the MO of a killer he's pursuing. Sam tells Manners that two more murders have occurred and Manners wants to see them. Back at the Metzners, Agent Stone is examining a puddle left behind and tells Manners that according to his instruments, Jack can now melt and freeze at will. A town curfew is now ordered. Outside, Paul's making a ruckus, claiming that a snowman killed the Metzners, so Sam tells a deputy to go check it out. On the way, the deputy encounters a snowman holding a stop sign in the middle of the road. He gets out to investigate, and Jack melts into the car and kills the deputy by running over him. While the rest of the town holds up in the community center, a pair of local teens, Jill and Tommy, break into the sheriff's office to dance the horizontal mambo. As a porn version of the 12 Days of Christmas plays, we are treated to a hilariously unsexy disrobing as the young folks have to strip about 10 layers of clothes. Finally, Jill and Tommy are down to their last layer of thermal undies, and in an effort to prolong the romance, Jill asks Tommy to make a fire and open a bottle of wine while she goes upstairs to primp. While she's upstairs, Jack shoots and kills Tommy with icicles. Upstairs, thinking Tommy has drawn a bath for her, Jill gets into the bathtub. No surprise as the water turns out to be Jack. The water solidifies and proceeds to rape Jill to death. Not cool movie. Back at the station, Sam wants to know what Manners and Stone are hiding as the deputy squad car pulls up. There's no driver, just a very wet interior. Just then, Jack solidifies in front of everybody for the big reveal. Manners shoots Jack, but to no effect, and the group flees into the community center. Finally, Manners and Stone explains that Jack was chemicaled into a killer snowman as we see water pour under the front door. In a sciencey explanation that would make a Toho scientist scream, bullshit, Stone reveals that Jack is an accidental result of an experimental acid intended to extend human life for something like that. Sam assembles the Vidal Sassoon army to force Jack into the building, into the building's large boiler, using hair dryers and super long extension cords.
You have 1 minute.
This doesn't work as they flee the community center. Sam and Ryan try to drive away, but Jack is waiting for them. As they get out of the car, Sam grabs the oatmeal goo Ryan made him for lunch and shoves it into Jack's face. This actually works as Jack starts to melt into a gross, fleshy sort of thing. In a what the hell moment, Sam asks Ryan about what's in the lunch. Ryan innocently says, "Antifreeze. I didn't want you to get cold." Oh, how thoughtful of the little homicidal maniac. Sam asks Paul to get all the antifreeze he has from the store and lures Jack to the second story of the community center. The two struggle, but Sam is finally able to push Jack out a window into the bed of the waiting pickup truck filled with antifreeze. Jack is finally dead, but the townies take no chances and collect the Jack Frost antifreeze mixture into plastic jugs and bury them in an unmarked grave. The end. Or is it?
10 seconds left.
Yeah. All right. Nice.
I think fills up the Ziploc bag full of hot goo might be one of the best things said during the 60-minute synopsis.
So,
like the Dallas Soon army.
Yes, that was my favorite.
I gotta give Jody props for that one. Nice. So that is the 6 minute synopsis for this turd of a movie from the 1997's Jack Frost, starring absolutely nobody but Shannon Elizabeth. Anyway, yes. Does anybody else need a drink?
God, yes, please.
Let's get a drink going out to the lobby. See you in a minute.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
We're back. Okay, so full disclosure, I had a beer that's sitting in the sink right now that some asshole left in his car overnight. And since we are in sub-10.
Yeah.
temperatures, digits,
sub zero.
Yeah, sub, maybe sub zero. I had a mess to clean up in my car this morning.
Oh, no.
So when it comes to beer versus weather, sub zero wins.
Oh dear God! We have the remnants of that beer in the sink over there right now. We can try it later. At worst, it will be flat. Or I'm sorry, at best, it will be flat.
Oh no!
At worst, it'll be undrinkable. So. We can test it out later. Anyway, Troy was kind enough to run out to the store before I got here as I was cleaning things up and grab something from the good old Kroger. So, yep. Troy, if you want to talk about this, it's I think you've selected appropriately for this film.
You've done well theme-wise.
Yeah, and that was all I had to go on. You know, I had nothing going into this as far as something I was looking for. So I got the New Belgian Accumulation White India Pale Ale. And the thing that probably recommended it the most to me is that there's a guy that's like putting the beer into the freezer section there as I was coming up. And as I pulled it off the shelf, he goes, "Oh, that's a good choice."
Nice.
So I was like, "Oh, okay." He goes, "And it won't be around long. So this is a limited edition New Belgian White India Pale Ale that does have kind of a..."
It's nice and hoppy. It's got some nice hops in it.
It says on the side of the bottle, "Flurries of Mosaic and Amarillo hops bring soft fruit and citrus flavor, followed by a layer of bitter in our seasonally suited white IPA."
that's ironic, because I usually am very bitter after the holidays are over, so...
You mean because it's winter.
Right.
Winter is here.
That helps. That's part of it.
So, New Belgian, they're famously known for their fat tire. That's their flagship. You see that all the way around. And mm-hmm. I think it just recently came to Ohio, I want to say maybe the last couple, 2-3 years.
Fat tire? At least four.
Maybe. It's been a while, because it was one of those, when Coors was only available on the other side of the Rockies, it was one of those beers where if you went to a state that had New Belgian in it, you mm-hmm. brought back... you would always bring back some Fat Tire.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things, like before Yingling was really available in Ohio, people, when you cross the border to Pennsylvania,
yes,
you brought back England.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the case.
By the case. Because that's how you buy them.
Because Pennsylvania is weird.
Right.
And they're not wrong. The description is good. I've brewed with Amarillo hops, and I really enjoy Amarillo hops. They're a fun, citrusy is a good word for it. Lemon zesty sort of hop.
Yes, lemon zest is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can definitely taste the lemon in
and
this.
And it does have a little bit of a bitter aftertaste, but it's not like nasty bitter. It's nice. Right.
I'm not as familiar with the Mosaic. I've heard of it, but I haven't brewed with it, nor do I could I even guess at what the flavor profile is. But yeah, it's good. I enjoy this. I can drink a bunch of these. And yeah, what's and the ABV is... 6. So it's a...
It's relatively drinkable. You could drink a couple.
You drink a couple.
Maybe, and then suddenly you're...
Maybe more than three would... You might want to consider taking a cab.
And then suddenly you're like a crazy uncle.
Calling Uber.
Mm-hmm. Are you the one making everybody else uncomfortable at Christmas dinner or something?
Well, you know what I think? I think that the Martians are controlling the weather. Right. You gonna eat that?
A little look into the holidays of Dave's Place.
Yeah.
Pull back the curtain.
So that is the New Belgian. I don't have anything prepared for this because I failed miserably at my job. But well, anyway.
I mean, when you brought the Fat Tire, I was actually... I didn't have very high hopes because I'd had the... What the Fat Tire is
fat
what
tire.
I said, right? Like, and this is from New Belgium, right? That's right. And I've had Fat Tire before, and I'm like, this is a pretty easy, sessionable, drinkable beer, but not particularly exciting. So I didn't really have high hopes for this, but as I drink it, I'm like, I could get into this. I like this.
I've had it before, and I do enjoy this one. And you're right. There are certain breweries where, like, sometimes when I don't enjoy the flagship,
mm-hmm.
for instance, Sam Adams. I am not a big fan of their lager. Mm, now, their right. light lager is the best light lager on the market, hands down.
Really?
Okay. I will not. I make no bones about that.
Now, what
that
do you mean by light lager?
When Sam Adams light lager.
Right. Well, I'm familiar
which
with
is basically
it,
their version of
light. Their Miller Lite.
Their Miller Lite.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Bud it's light just it's a lower calorie. It's a more drinkable lager. It's not. Lagers can be extra sweet. Budweiser is much sweeter than Bud Light. Sam Adams is much sweeter than because it's a smaller malt bill.
Right.
There's less stuff in there, although somehow they maintain the alcohol content. I don't know. But I'm not a big fan of Sam Adams lager.
Mm-hmm.
Light lager, fantastic. But I go to Sam Adams on their seasonals every season because mm-hmm. they're good. All of them are good. We've got Cold Snap in our mm-hmm. fridge right now. Their summer is one of the best, easiest drinking summer ales. I think the only Shandy I like is their Porch Rocker.
Ooh, I haven't had that one.
It's still a little too lemony for my tastes.
Mm. But you know a lot of people love that. That's probably why they did it.
Well, exactly. They love the Line and Kugel Shandies right. and all the shit that Shiner puts out. So that's exactly why Sam Adams did that, to dip into that summertime market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one I'll drink of the Shandies, mm-hmm. of the 7-Up and or the lemonade with beer in it was what it is.
Right.
Sam Adams does a great job. I love their specialty beers.
Yeah.
But again, their flagship, as Dave was saying, Fat Tire, I'll drink it. Yeah. I'll drink it before I'll drink a Killian's, because it's kind of the same beer.
Pretty much drink anything before I'll drink a Killian's.
Well, that too. but yeah, it's always, you're always stepping on eggshells when you're approaching a brewery that you're not fond of their number one guy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
You are my number one guy.
Come on, Batman.
Yeah.
Hawk the Slayer. Wait,
Oh, the Jack.
That's where I was going. Okay, folks. So that was New Belgian Accumulation Ale. Is it
Accumulation?
Just Accumulation.
White India Pale Ale.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty quite tasty. Go out and get it. Easy to find.
Amarillo Hop sounds like a professional poker player.
We should do.
You're right.
I said that before.
Grease too.
Let's talk off air about that.
so bad.
All right.
Not the one that you want.
Speaking of movies.
No, The Cool Rider.
No, it's not.
Can we get this over with?
yeah, Jack Frost.
Okay, wow. So.
I think we're avoiding talking about it.
We are. We really are.
All right, so I'll dive in then. I was annoyed about this movie literally from the second the first voice started to speak.
Nothing is lazier or more insulting to moviegoers than voiceover explaining what's going on.
Except maybe scrolling
text. I'm looking at you, Star Wars.
Here's the thing. If it's done well, I'm looking at you, Star Wars. I can do
the one exception.
Expositional front loading, voiceover, scrolling text, what have you. This was not done well. This story that he's telling is actually kind of interesting. The super fucked up aspect of it is not. It's an adult telling a child a horrifying story.
Yeah.
And the child.
As the child. Well, hold on, I'm going to get there too. As the child is clearly asking them to stop telling this horrible story. And they're like, no, fuck you, kid. I'm going to keep telling you this story. I was like, fuck this movie already. Add to it that it wasn't actually a child that was speaking. It was an adult putting on a, I'm going to do a fake little kid voice. Made me want to fucking throttle the TV from the get-go. Like, I was like, way to alienate everybody instantly. Jerk offs. So, ugh, I was super annoyed.
Yeah, the squeaky I'm a child voice, which is very clearly an adult woman doing a squeaky child voice. Right. That I was like, okay, all right. But it did set the tone that this is going to be a shitty movie. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, totally.
One of the things I was unable to get to was there was a nursery rhyme at the very beginning. And it was like, okay, Jack Frost for 5 years, 11 states, and 38 deaths avoided capture. Jack was nimble. Jack was quick. Jack gouged eyes with candlesticks.
Yes.
And there was more, but it wasn't very interesting. but there was all this. They were really trying to be funny.
Yes.
Really trying to be a funny thing. And the whole Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, Hellraiser, the Waka Waka one-liners.
Yes.
In horror movies. Yeah. Hellraiser 3 and on.
Later day
Pinhead started doing all sorts of Freddy.
Shtick.
Yeah, shtick. Exactly.
Yeah.
The wisecracking bad guy exactly. thing.
Yes. Well, and there were even, like, weirdly wisecracking the deputies.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of those written down.
And, like...
I think this movie proves that Sam Raimi's not a really good filmmaker. I mean, that he is a good filmmaker.
You've got
but,
a great point there. Yeah, I didn't
like
think of that.
This movie felt like he was trying to do
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. Like he's got the Bruce Campbell-y actor trying to do Jack Frost and not doing it well because only Bruce Campbell can be Bruce Campbell.
Right.
Wait, you think that Jack Frost is trying to be Bruce or that the sheriff is trying to be Bruce?
No, Jack Frost. Sheriff was a cold fish the whole time through.
They did
some whip cuts. They did like when Jack Frost is getting hit by the chemicals, that totally looked like Ash being washed over by the...
Right.
And that quick camera cut of "this is gonna hurt" or whatever he said.
Right.
The little asides like that all felt so like, especially the beginning felt very Sam Raimi to me. And I'm like, okay, I see what they're going for, and they're not quite good enough to pull it off. And like, honestly, I'll bet you that's really hard to make that work.
Yeah, I also didn't like the constant use of the super up close to the face camera cut of like. The three guys leaning in to look at something. And so it's like, it's the point of view of the body or whatever. And the camera's like pointing out. Then I was like, okay, maybe once per 90 minutes of movie, not once per 15 seconds of movie.
Right.
Like that irritated me. There was also a lot of really bad set design that drove me insane in this movie. It's literally a fucking movie about a snowman in a town that's supposed to be, like, unreachable because of the snow. The damn town is called, like, Snowminton. They're in Snowton County. They're going to have a snowman building contest. And the streets are as bone dry as Las Vegas in July. Wow. Like,
and
I was
the
like...
the least snow-looking snow you've ever...
Yes!
Like, those snowmen are obviously styrofoam with feathers stuck to them.
Yes.
They had some weather problems during the production. There, it was in the winter. I think they were filming in December and expecting some sort of weather, and they got like 70 degree weather.
Yeah.
So that's why
it was clearly California.
It was terrible.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, I was super annoyed by that.
It was all foam insulation spray, is what it was.
Then, okay, maybe not so many of the fake snowmen in the town square and more shit on the road. You know what I mean? Like, something. Like, figure your shit out. Like, it really... Not that I was, like, super invested in the movie, but it really took me out of it. Because it was like, yeah. when we get to the weird town square community center that I couldn't figure out, is this a community center? Is this a church? Is it a hotel? Like, at one point toward the end, when he's, like, banging on the doors, there are people holed up in, like, the little rooms. And I was like, what is this building that they're in?
All I could figure was a community center or a town square or something. But the priest was in charge of it, which is also, why is there a church this large in the town square? I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like a church when they were in it.
No, it totally felt like a community center. So, I don't know. It's like church, community center, YMCA all merged into one. I have no idea. But it was that was annoying. That was super annoying.
And all the foreshadowing. I mean, there was so much...
Though, honestly,
I did not see
the oatmeal coming. I did not see the oatmeal coming.
No, me neither.
There was so much that was dropped, like the snowman competition. They spent a good 5-7 minutes
at the beginning. I'm thinking
Jack Frost is going to jump out from under one of those sheets.
Especially
like
the one that the guy was like, don't look, don't look. Exactly. I totally expected that.
And they never went
back to that. Yeah, that had to be an editing thing. There has to be somewhere, some scene where that has been filmed and it didn't work right or whatever, and they ended up cutting it. But
it's not worth digging up.
Hell no. I'm actually upset that we watched this through our Amazon Prime, because now it's going to fucking make recommendations of this kind of shit. Because I thought about it last night, like, as we turned it off, Troy started it, and I was like, fuck, this is on Prime? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, god damn it, I so much like it better when they're stolen from the internet, because then nobody who tags us knows we watch this shit.
Not that we would ever do that, by the way.
Right, we don't.
No, we don't do that.
No.
Yeah. Since you liked Jack Frost, now you'll like Jennifer's Body
or the sequel to Jack Frost.
That was okay.
Or
maybe not.
They're coming out, or they came out in 2017 with a third.
Yes.
They did not.
Yes.
Well, they tried to. It's not out. Well,
according to what I read, it was out.
I thought I read that the main character died. I didn't bother figuring out.
Oh wait.
Sheriff Sam
died. In an avalanche.
Yes.
Oh, the guy.
Hold on, the sheriff.
Yeah.
Come on, the guy.
That's fucked up.
It is. Troy was like, okay, I don't want to laugh because this man is a human and he passed, and that's terrible. And it's not like he was super old or whatever. Oh. But can we please look at the fucking irony that the sheriff from the movie was killed by snow? Like, it was like, come on.
Yes, and with apologies to his family, but yes, he did die in an avalanche in 2008.
Yeah.
That's...
Are you looking at a picture of it?
No, I'm not looking.
He's looking at his phone like, oh my god!
Yeah.
Because after
the movie was over...
I thought there was a script written and it was ready to roll, and then he passed away, or he was killed, I should say, and then they ditched the script.
I mean, the guy, Chris Alport, who's the actor that plays Sheriff Sam, was killed in 08.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they were looking at making a third Jack Frost movie, I can't imagine, with his death in 08, affecting the movie enough that it would still be listed as existing in 2017. So, if they aren't doing the third movie because of the death of someone, I'm going to guess it's not this guy, that it's someone else with a more recent passing closer to when the movie was supposed to be released.
Well, the sequel, Jack Frost 2, is on Amazon Prime.
Great.
And I highly recommend not seeing it.
Yeah, no shit.
You did watch it, didn't you?
I got through maybe the first half hour, and I'm my brain started to melt a little bit. And I'm like, oh my God, this is 10 times worse. It's on a tropical island, and I'm...
What?
I didn't get to the point where how Jack is able to solidify...
You didn't get to the point where Jack shows up? You're just
no,
like,
no, he was there somehow, and...
Is he made of sand?
No, he's made of snow. It's weird. It's really weird.
Well, according to the physics of the actual character of the crazy snowman Jack Frost, he can exist in any water form, like liquid or solid, and apparently gas, because he evaporated in the,
yes.
at the end and then recondensed.
When they put him in the boiler, he...
So evaporated. What you're saying is there's no way to kill him.
You go to bed and watch your supper.
That was almost as bad as the movie.
I'm proud.
Almost.
I feel like it's a really missed opportunity for them to use that in one of the taglines.
Of all the stupid shtick that they had.
Oh, my God.
Of all the bad one-liners they had.
No, my favorite was the guy that owned the little, hardware store or whatever. I started calling him Paul 20% off. Because every time he would talk to somebody, he would say, oh, 20% off, come down to the store, 20% off.
There's only so much you can put in these six-minute synopsis, and... And it was a running gag through the whole thing.
Through the whole thing.
It's like, how are you making any money if everything's 20% off?
I thought
if
that
everything's
too.
20% off, then nothing is for sale.
There
are no specials.
Full price,
yeah.
If everything's on sale, then nothing is on sale.
Right.
There were gags that worked. But my favorite gag was the first body. And it's this old man that's had his head pulled back. So the whole scene where the sheriffs are talking about it. Like, you're looking at the back of a rocking chair, and this guy's head is ganked way back, and it's all creepy and frostbitten.
And frozen.
Frozen, because he was outside. Right. He was outdoors for the evening.
And they're all talking about it, and the thing is rocking back and forth the whole time, and you're like, how is this dead person rocking? And then the sheriff is like, take your foot off the rocking chair, and it stops, and it's like, that actually is pretty funny. I actually laughed at that one.
Yeah, he did laugh at that. He did laugh.
Take your foot off the chair.
This is going to be a tough one to get through, guys, because I think we all universally are appalled by this film.
I kind of liked the wisecracking secretary in this, the sheriff secretary.
The dispatcher.
First of all, because you talk about there's so much foreshadowing this movie, the abundant use of hair dryers unnecessarily.
Yes.
Before they become Vidal Sassoon army, Marla's at work blow drying.
Yeah.
Perfectly dry and coiffed hairdo. I don't understand. And then in the sexy scene where the two kids go to do it at the sheriff's house,
Shannon Elizabeth
is blow drying
her dry hair. Yeah.
Already dry hair.
Before she gets in the bath.
Just making
sexy hair.
I mean, she
wasn't expecting the bath.
Which I understand, but I was like you just spent 40 minutes blow drying hair that wasn't even wet, and now you're going to get in the tub. what are you doing? I thought for sure, as soon as she was like, oh, the tub, and she stripped and we saw the naked feet, I thought for sure she's going to put her foot in and it's going to be ice cold. I was totally surprised that it was warm.
Right.
I was totally surprised that it was warm.
Let's talk about that scene for a minute.
Maybe never mention it after that.
She gets into the bathtub and she's like, stop, it's getting cold. And then all of a sudden, snow comes up around her face and she screams. And then the banjo music starts.
Yeah.
And Jack Frost grows and he's got her in a grip and she's screaming.
And they're standing up.
Mm-hmm. And they're standing up.
He grows and standing up and he's like,
and they're rocking back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And he's smashing her head into the wall.
Right.
So I'll be honest with you, when that scene first started, she's in the tub and it's warm and she's in there splashing around having a good time in the warm tub. And then you see the carrot float sort of by her knees. And I instantly was like, oh my God. But then I thought, they're literally going to take this to a rape scene with a fucking carrot and I'm going to throw my beer at the TV. I was ready to be furious. But then it's the whole tub frosts over. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe not. They're just going to, like, freezer a la Han Solo in this tub.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
I was on board with that.
Right, I was okay with that, too. Then Jack Frost rises up, and they're standing, the two of them, the snowman and the girl, face to face, and she's clearly completely naked, and you get a little side boob, and you get a little butt, you know, of her, whatever. And he's got his arms, snow arms around her, and he's knocking her into the wall. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, he's bashing her head into the...
That's what I thought at first.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, totally, oh, okay. I mean, as on board as I would be with any bullshit in one of these fucking movies, but I was totally on board with this, like, this is how he's killing her. Here's the gratuitous naked scene of the hot young girl, you know, from the stupid horror movie, because there always is one, you know, whatever. And then he drops her to the floor and he says, Christmas came early. Mm. And I was like, fuck you.
Fuck you, movie.
And this fucking movie. Like, I was like, how does the actress read the script and go, yes, I'm okay with being raped to death?
By a snowman. By anything, but yes.
Period. How does the director think that this is okay? How does the entire crew that are watching this happen? And I get it, everybody has to have a paycheck and it's a movie and there's far worse scenes on there and out there, but...
Honestly, every 1980s to... about this time movie had this scene. All those horror movies had this scene, I swear to God. Like, you think about all the Friday the 13th, like the...
Rape to death?
Not maybe rape to death, but
killed,
like,
naked girl?
Oh, sure. Killed naked girl.
Sure. Killed in the middle of sex.
Do, like, either during or after?
Post. I mean, that... There's
this is
a
the
reason
only film
that
I've seen
in,
where you were raped to death.
I guess raped to death.
And that's the only thing that really pissed me off about this movie. Because you could have totally... As you said, Han Solo and Carbonite.
Possible. Frozen so many
to death,
places where you could have killed
her. Glaze over.
Grossly.
She's dead. Okay.
Right.
Or just, like, stabbed her to death with the carrot when it's on her nose.
Right.
I did notice that they removed the carrot from his nose. Otherwise, Shannon Elizabeth's eyes would have poked out.
Yes.
Well, because
I mean, for realsies.
The carrot.
Oh, was not on his nose face because it was somewhere else.
Because that's where you see it floating, and then he solidifies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
that sucks.
Went someplace else.
Right,
and you're right.
Which I didn't think that's what it was doing until he said that line. And then when he said that line, I was like, "Fuck all these people."
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pretty much, I lost all what little respect I had for the film and the directors and the actors for that one stupid line. Because that's the only reason you film that is for that line.
Right.
Yeah.
True. It's the only reason you do that.
The whole time the happy banjo music.
Yeah, it's like zany.
Just
kinda,
made it worse.
It's supposed to be zany.
Which they
it's
did.
Rape is not
I feel
funny,
like they did
period.
That kind of weird music layover when he was killing the mom via Christmas ornament.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know.
I kind of
trying to put on my killer music.
That scene.
See, that was actually kind of clever. I mean, it was a little gross, but...
It was a lot on. Gross.
I like gross.
I really did not enjoy the way... Other than 20% off Paul, I couldn't stand anybody's character in this movie.
They were all kind of douchebags. I mean, seriously.
The little kid, the sheriff's kid,
the homicidal,
and his hair drapes. And his, how do you, I'm sorry, as a parent, how do you not notice your child pouring antifreeze into a pot on the stove?
What was he, 10?
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
So... He's not having any supervision.
Right.
Cooking something on a fire burner.
Mm-hmm.
With a flame, with a gas burner, not just a coil or a...
With oats and chocolate and marshmallows. Because you could see the chocolate and the marshmallows laying on the counter to the side. So, and we got the foreshadowing of the oats being important when dad takes them, dad throws them away. Dad hears the kid's voice in his head. I made it for you, Dad. Mm-hmm. Takes it out of the trash and chucks it back into the car. At which point I was like, "What? You're eventually going to throw that shit away. Like, what? I don't understand.
You're not going to eat that.
No, you're not going to eat that. But I still was totally surprised when that happened at the end. Like, I was a little bit like, okay, kid's a psycho. We definitely need to look into that when this is all over. But totally well played.
Yeah. But it's like they kind of almost bypassed Anton Chekhov's rule. Like, if there's a gun that appears in the first act, it must go off by the third one.
Yeah.
And so, like, but the thing is, like, who would anticipate that the oatmeal would play a part later? Like, because we didn't know there was antifreeze in it. I mean, just the psychotic kid did.
Right. When he put it back in his car,
we knew it was going to play a part somehow.
That meant something. That meant, because I wrote that down. Okay, foreshadowing. Something is going on with this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although,
but like you, Kathleen, I was not. Antifreeze? The fuck? Right. What is wrong with this kid?
Well, and how did...
What is wrong with mom not seeing a jug of antifreeze sitting on... What did he do? Right, dump it in there and then go back out in the garage and put it back in
there? Because he doesn't clean up after himself because he cooks something else horrible later. And she makes a comment about, oh, because I haven't already cleaned up one of your messes. Right, so he clearly doesn't pick up after him shit, but he knows enough to put the fucking antifreeze away.
Yep. So he's trying to kill us.
Kind of, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, he wanted dad to not get cold. No, doesn't work like that, son.
But yeah. Speaking of the kid, I did really enjoy the death scene of the bullies. That one I did like.
That made me laugh.
I enjoyed the fact that he's out there and to... Because the dad gave the kid the carrots and the coal to put on to make the face, and so he brings out his stuffed puppet of a snowman, and he's like referring to it.
Yeah.
He's like, let's see, there's a carrot that goes about right here, and let's see what's on this one.
Like, what if he got it wrong? He's like, no, that's all wrong. Do it over.
Yeah, that was weird.
Kept referring to his puppet. I'm like, oh,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was really weird.
I like that he had a snowman puppet to begin with.
Yeah. Well, he does live in Snowminton County.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Snowminton County.
But like,
oh, my God.
Actually, I don't know if anybody else caught this. I know I did, but it was the scene after the bully gets beheaded via sled. So he's decapitated.
That's hilarious.
And the dead bully's father and the sheriff were arguing.
Yeah.
Like, and the sheriff was... Because at this moment, they believe that the sheriff's kid murdered the bully, but he didn't. And so... The sheriff's yelling like, how could you have done this? Like your kid's like 2 feet taller than him. And I heard like sotto voce, like very low, like not anymore.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I had to actually pause it and rewind it. I must have rewound that part like and watched it like at least 5 times. And I turned it way up. I'm like, no way. And like, no, totally, it's happening. Like, you could hear somebody mumbling in the background.
That's...
And I thought for sure that it was like some sort of mixed up track. But like, he's like, yeah, no, it's fully 2 feet taller than my boy. Like, not anymore.
Is that supposed to be Jack Frost?
Yes.
It was, yes, because later, when Jack is around, but before he actually manifests in snowman form, you hear that sort of like
when the dad goes outside.
Yes.
And the dad the mom are not reacting like any human that has ever lost a child. They're like,
no.
He's mildly angry that the sheriff's kid has killed his kid. And like, he stomps off. I can't believe that you killed my child. And they go home and
And she's like, let's have a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah, like she's trying to comfort him.
She's in shock.
She's in shock and is stupid. Because these are the same people.
Stupid people in shock.
This is the same dad who has the secret snowman in the town square covered by the sheet that he doesn't want anybody to see.
Right.
And she's the same mom who's like, oh, I think whatever she says to him. And he's like, shut up and give me this thing. Like, they're a weird portrayal. Yeah.
Go knit your scarf. Go knit my scarf.
Well, and then, like, he yells at, like, his daughter Jill, basically accuses her of being a whore, and she's like, shut up, I love my brother! So that she can go across the street and fuck her boyfriend at the sheriff's house. Like, I was like, what?
So Jody asked me, why did they break into the sheriff's house?
Why? Yep. That's a great fucking question.
I know why. Because they only had 4 sets.
Oh, well.
They had the community center, they had the Metzler's house, they had, which, of course, Jill's not going to have sex there, because that's where she lives. They have...
The community center.
The community center, the Messer's house, the
sheriff's house.
Sheriff's house and
the jail.
The jail.
Yeah.
Right. So they can't screw in the jail.
Yeah.
They can't screw in the community center because that's where everybody is.
I don't know. There's weird apartments upstairs that people were staying in that wouldn't let the sheriff in.
I was so eager to get done with the film that I didn't pause it through there. There was something weird was going on. Shut up. Something weird was going on in the upstairs of the second story of the community center.
Well, you know what? Whatever the case, those two parents reacting to the death of their son not 5 hours before that was still more of a realistic reaction than anything from Single Santa Seeking Mrs. Claus. I believe those as... I know, because... It's just like, you know what? My son just got murdered by sled 5 hours ago. I'm going to go outside and calm down by smoking my pipe.
Yeah. Right, right.
Still, I buy that more than I buy Steven Guttenberg or Crystal Bernard in any of that movie that we watched before. Any of it.
Oh, no.
The chemistry was not
there. At the point that the snowman kills the mom with the lights and the ornaments, I literally was like, this movie is fucking stupid. Yeah. And then I was like, is this movie bad on purpose?
Yeah, like, I think you know.
The writing is bad, the acting is bad, the sets are bad, the you know, there's no snow on the road, there's the weird camera angles, like the whole thing. I was like, is it supposed to be bad? Like, were they aiming for, we're going to make a bad B movie and we're going to do it so well that it's going to turn out to be
a cult classic?
Yes. Yes.
I think it started, I think they wanted to make a horror comedy. That was
That's pretty
clear.
Obvious.
Yeah. But things that make it as horror comedies, Evil Dead.
Right.
Child's Play.
Child's
two.
Play. Yeah. Yeah. Those Evil things two, yeah. develop into a horror comedy out of something that they were trying to make fairly serious, even if you were doing one-liners with Freddy and Chucky, Ash.
Yeah.
I mean, they develop into, I mean, The Evil Dead, the first one, that's a horror movie.
It's a straight horror movie. Yeah.
That's a horror movie with a little bit of funny here and there.
Right.
But that's, they were doing their damnedest to make you, to scare
right.
you.
Mm-hmm. Well, when they realized, my assumption has always been that when they realized after making The Evil Dead.
Yeah, 10 years later.
That what worked about the movie was the shtick. And they made Evil Dead 2. Mm-hmm. And it's damn near the same movie as The Evil Dead. It's just a better version. I mean, there's changes and, you know.
There's a lot of reasons for that. But
right, but what I'm saying is they figured out, oh, this is the part we need to enhance.
Yes, there are.
And then thus created a true horror comedy film.
Yeah, I think that when a movie franchise starts to realize the ridiculous parts of itself, it and they realize that those ridiculous parts are what makes it popular. Like, if you look at going back to Child's Play, it's a doll that's possessed by a killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
played by Brad. No, by,
I thought that first one was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, that first one was great and scary.
Yeah, but at the same point, if you think about it, like, it's a killer toy doll. So that in and of itself, on its face, is kind of ridiculous. So I think they started playing with that. Now right. we have Jennifer Tilly playing his wife.
Marvelous.
Right.
Oh, these last couple were great.
And there was like a rash of like killers dying and coming back as other shit during this 80s and 90s, weren't there?
Yeah, there was that movie. There was that one movie where they took some serial killer and they executed him, and then they harvested him for like body parts or whatever for like people who needed.
Yeah, that was called Body Parts.
Body Parts.
And
yeah.
So there was that. There was also one where like the hand is the hand of a murderer and it like kills people and stuff. But
and there was like Child's Play was one of those. I think. Does anybody remember Shocker?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That where he got electrocuted and then like electricity was killing.
Yeah, he was electricity.
Yeah, he became electricity.
Yeah.
And, like, he was trying to find a way to get back at the guy who, you know, had him imprisoned or whatever and executed. And there was like, for a while there, I mean, there was like that Repossessed kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think there was also.
I think there actually was a movie called Repossessed, too.
Yes, Linda Blair. I remember that.
And Leslie Nielsen,
that was a straight, that was a straight up comedy, though.
Yeah,
it was a spoof movie, like scary movie.
And let's see, but going along the lines of what you're saying, I think that they were going for that. I think they were going for, like, we're going to make this kind of kitschy, no, well, not kitschy,
kind of
the right word, but like,
there's a scene,
we're going for the cult status.
Yeah. I mean, there is a scene in here where Jack Frost is melting and he's coming under the door. And there's a guy with a gun shooting a puddle of water. Right. I'm like, okay, you're not taking this serious anymore.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, in a community that frequently deals with extremely cold
yes.
conditions, wouldn't you think the seal around their doors would be
a little tighter?
Super tight, like waterproof,
yeah.
airproof.
Or you yeah.
And it's water is gushing out every time Jack Frost goes in, melts and goes into a building and re-solidifies or constitutes, whatever. Wait, that's not the right word, is it?
Constitutes.
Fuck off. Water is gushing under the doors. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
All I can think of is, like,
we should probably not pull this, like, start unscrewing things on this particular machine, because things will just fall apart pretty much immediately.
There were a couple moments, and I get it, like, you know, there's a ton of extra snow around, and so he could probably gain or lose as he needed to, but that snowman was different sizes in different scenes. Like, it reminded me of, was it Mighty Peking Man or was it Ape?
I think in some scenes
he's like the size of a dude in a monkey suit, and in other scenes he's like fucking Godzilla size. It's like, wait a minute, he was just eye level with the last guy. So, yeah, I mean, at least with the snow, you can understand why he could change size versus like the fucking monkey that just should be. But
I think that they insulate their windows by putting padlocks on them.
What the fuck? What okay.
So this window's locked. We can't get into it.
I wrote down, who the hell locks a window like this? And break the fucking glass. I understand why they didn't shoot it, because the spark would catch all the aerosols.
The windows are...
But I didn't understand why... I literally made Troy pause the movie during when all the aerosol cans were like, they strapped them all down to spray at the same time. Because I was like, what? Why are they doing that? Like,
I was like, pause the movie.
And he was like, okay. And I was like, why are they spraying all the aerosol cans at one time?
Right.
I'm like, I think it's going to explode.
Right.
She went, oh, okay.
Well, that's, I didn't get to that in the synopsis because it was a, there goes my 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a scene where they were, one of their ideas to get rid of Jack was to
blow him up.
But they were in the police station, and for some reason they had a bajillion cans of bug killer.
Yes, and cleaning products.
And so they taped them all down.
Hairspray
set them all off.
The dispatcher.
And then escaped through the back window.
Right.
And
then they shot.
Yeah, because that works.
Right.
So you forget, my favorite part of that scene is that they're at the window and they're trying to unlock it. They're like, where's the key? And the sheriff goes, oh no. And he turns around and it's in the lock. They've locked Jack out and Jack's now coming underneath the door.
Yeah.
And so the sheriff slowly walks down the hallway.
That's called filler.
And he's like trying to go through the mist that is the bug spray. And he goes and he's reaching for the key.
But he doesn't want to touch the puddle of water. So he's like weirdly reaching farther than what it would be to just like stick your arm out and get the keys out of the door.
It's way more ridiculous than that. Because like he does actually, like his foot is in the water. And he's just reaching. He's like, come on. Come on. He's actually saying to himself. And then he like drops the key into the mud puddle. He's like, or into the puddle that is Jack. He's like, reach for it. Reach for it. It's like, come on, just pick up the goddamn key. I know what you're trying to do.
Yes. Well, and because they're in like the bottom, like the lower level of the sheriff's office
where the jail cells are.
Where they've earlier put poor 20% off Paul for being a stark raving lunatic because he was saying that a snowman killed all these people or whatever. And so they've run past 20% off Paul to get to the window. The sheriff has walked, as they've like set off all these fucking bug bombs, basically. The sheriff is going back to get the keys in super slow-mo while everyone's like, we're dying, hurry up, because all this aerosol is being sprayed into the air. And as he's got the keys and is now coming back, 20% off Paul reaches out and is like, don't leave me in here. They were literally going to blow him up and kill him. They'd completely forgotten that he was even in there.
20% Paul in his apron. Did anyone notice that? He just wore an apron for no reason.
Well, he works at the hardware store. You work at the hardware store.
You got to have an apron.
But it didn't have any. It was like a cooking apron. It wasn't
Because he said he works at the general hardware store.
He looked like a baker to me. I don't know. I remember when he was walking, like running away from the scene where... after he actually witnessed Jack Frost killing that woman with the ornaments and whatnot, he was running away like, oh no, it's a snowman!
Yeah.
He's wearing an apron like, okay. But again, I was like, let's not start pulling threads on this one because
totally
it'll probably not hold up too well.
Totally, yeah. Well, and that's what I said to Troy. I was like, I understand the concept of aerosol cans and explosives. Like, I've seen enough movies where you take the aerosol can, flick your lighter, and it becomes a flamethrower.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen yeah. movies do that too.
Yeah.
I've never myself done that.
Right.
Once or twice or with an entire case of Aquanet.
Oh. Right.
Or with so, potato guns.
Right. So my thought process, right, was why not just light up one and, you know, oh, okay, you guys go for the window, toss it and explode them all. Why do they have to, like, fog up the whole room?
I don't know. I don't care. I really don't care.
It was annoying, though.
But I think what you were talking about, like, they're trying to make it get into cult status or whatever, it did allow them to have carte blanche when it comes to like the tropes, like the FBI guy who for some reason was dressed like Bullet, like Steve McQueen,
yeah,
like with the dark shirt and all yeah. that stuff. It's like you're on a need to know basis and you don't need to know,
right. Yeah,
and all that stuff. Or like that scientist, like don't kill him, no, yes, don't hurt him.
Yes,
we're supposed to be a thing of beauty, not an abomination,
right?
You know, and like and all that stuff. And I wanted to have a problem with those because under normal circumstances I would, but like the bar was set so incredibly low for this movie. I was like, you know what? This is what you need. This. You just, yeah. just take it. Just the, yeah. you need every crutch you can possibly lean on.
And all the one-liners, you had to have all, they were trying so hard to be funny with all the stupid one-liners.
Yes. I can see your house from here.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
Dude. Yes, that was stupid. One of the deputies, I started calling him Dirty Deputy because every line he said was some kind of fucked up sexual innuendo. Like, I was like, not appropriate for what's going on. Like, he's the one that, like, flicks open the snowman Pez dispenser and hits yeah. the piece of candy.
Is that the same guy that after, well, because Paul was punched out by Agent Manners.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember that.
To calm him down.
Yes.
It's like slapping.
Get a hold of yourself.
It's like slapping
yes.
a woman.
You yes. know,
calm down. You get a punch for it if you're a dude.
Right.
And one of the deputies said, gosh, what's eating him? I bet it's not his girlfriend.
Yes. That's Dirty Deputy Chris.
Yeah. yeah. Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
This yes. movie sucks. I hate it.
It's stupid.
It's pretty bad.
I did, however, enjoy the... when Jack turns himself into the giant snowball
to roll
into the thing. And they're standing outside of the community center. And you can see they're visibly like fucking Cloverfield level shaking the camera. You know, and they're all sitting around. They're like, do you feel that? It's like, do you? I feel that. And I'm fucking over here. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? And then the sheriff has to like reach down and touch the ground. Jack's coming. And I was like... what? Everybody, nobody should, for as violently as the camera is shaking, none of you should be able to still be standing. Like, it was like
you're all in, you're all very clearly in California. You all know what earthquakes look like or sound like or feel like.
Right. And then it's like the giant snowball comes like crashing in. I thought that was kind of funny. I was like, oh, I like that you made yourself a big snowball.
Maybe we should watch Critters 2.
Oh my God.
No.
The shaking. Oh, yeah. It was actually pretty clear that the budget was pretty low because almost everything was handheld camera. Did you notice? Like, because everything was a little bit shaky.
Because
they didn't have any tracks or dollies or...
Yeah. Well, they couldn't because of all the snow on the road. Oh, wait. Oh.
There wasn't any.
There wasn't any. Yes. I also thought that the... when Jack re-solidifies from the furnace and he kills the Fed and then he goes after the scientist and then, like... inhabits his body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
scientist walking mm-hmm. out reminded me of the, in Men in Black.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe two uh-huh. or
no,
one.
No, it was the first one.
Yeah, yeah, where the guy's like the bug guy or yeah. whatever, and he's mm-hmm. like,
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, yeah, that whole, like, he can't walk or whatever, and he's like trying to look like he's just a normal guy or whatever.
That came out the same year, I think.
And I was I was like, this looks so, I was like, okay, so now he's this dude? And I was like, no, he's going to vomit the Jack out. That's, yeah, I had to look away. Yeah,
spraying all like, that shaving cream out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking maybe aerosol snow that you put on your...
like flocking Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Or that you spray on the windows.
But no, I think shaving cream is more... I think you're right there.
So, yeah.
But there was a lot.
Well, yeah. And I didn't understand how and this is totally one of those don't pull the thread kind of concepts, but how is it that the spoonful of oatmeal antifreeze could do so much fucking damage that it would take, but they needed in order to get rid of him, the like truck full. Bed full of it for like...
To be sure. We wanted to be sure.
It was dumb.
It was dumb. It was dumb. So, top to bottom.
But I was actually kind of impressed with the stunt work in that scene because... They, for like the second story, it was like a presumably a stuntman and a big stuffed snowman jumping out of, breaking through a window out of a second story and falling into a backing up truck. It wasn't stationary. I noticed that. And so they just kind of timed it and nailed it. And
they did that in one shot.
Did they?
I read actually, that they was the did third that time. In one
shot. And the first two did not make it.
But yeah, that was cool. That was impressive. I think it's horrible and irresponsible and dangerous, but
considering that it was for this is what you got out of it.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. Nobody got an Oscar at the end of this one.
Not at all.
Do we have more beer? Okay.
Well, I think we've said all we need to say about Jack Frost. I hope. I have one last thing to say, but I'll save it for just a second because it makes me laugh.
Right.
Aside from that, who needs an orange whip?
Orange whip.
Here we go. Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Okay. Let me get next to the mic. So I opened the Hopping Frog Tower Tuesday series. It is Infusion A Coffee Porter. And this is something that Hopping Frog's been doing for a little bit. They take a recipe and age it for a certain period of time. And I was really looking forward to tasting a porter because this is the time of year for darker beers, or as most people think it is. And
so they went through all this work and put all this time and energy into it, and you froze it the day before. It was supposed to.
So I opened it up over the sink smartly because I did get quite a bit of liquid in my car as I'm an asshole and left it in my car. It's at the very lip of the bottle. I mean, if you see this, here, Dave's going to take a picture.
Hold on a second. Ooh, you can see the little bubbles at the top.
Come on, focus. And there it is. And one more.
So I think, at best, this is going to be flat.
Is it pouring?
It's dripping.
Undulating up there.
Undulating? Like it's a hula dancer.
So, right. As he pours it out, it's not really coming out very much, makes me think that there's some ice in the bottom, keeping that from actually getting through.
I'm sorry, baby, that's never happened to me before.
Oh no.
It's kind of red in color. It sort of looks like you're pouring out blood.
I'm sorry, baby. That has also never happened to me before. I grossed myself out with that one. I'm sorry. Oh, hey, what happened?
Did it just let go?
Yeah, I think we might have some.
We made our way through the ice layer.
The ice queen. Who else has a glass for me?
I have a glass. Here's one. Let's try this. Oh, it's just trying so hard.
There is definitely a large chunk of ice in here.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. It smells like a cup of coffee.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, it's slush.
Here, Kathleen.
Oh. Yay.
Well, we do serve our beers cold here in America.
Yeah, but you probably don't serve it by the slice.
With the slush.
It's got quite a head.
Oh, look at that.
We got through the ice.
Looks like as a little piece of ice.
I'm sorry, baby, I should have warned you.
A beer slushy.
It is truly a beer slushy.
That is gross.
Can you get that one?
I got this.
Here, I'm gonna video like We need a YouTube.
This is not...
Trey Carlson, wait. Stuck your arm right in the middle of my picture.
Oh. Is there stuff still in there?
There's a chunk.
Oh, stuck in the neck.
Like right in the neck.
In the neck.
Sorry, baby, I didn't mean to get stuck in the neck.
Oh my God.
I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of that.
This is not a criticism on Hop and Frog by any stretch of the imagination.
This is a criticism on Pete.
This is me fucking everything up.
User error.
Totally. Yeah.
What's that, like, PebCap thing or whatever it is you always say about...
PebCac.
Yeah.
Problem exists between keyboard and chair.
Oh, ID10T error?
Yes. What? See, that's what we've been suffering through this whole time.
Yes, this is actually a cautionary tale on proper storage and transportation of beer.
Though, honestly, this is very apropos, considering that we're doing a snowman killer.
That's true.
I mean, we have frozen our beer.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yes.
We clearly not on purpose. It. So, how about we take a quick break, maybe get a beer that works, while this one...
reconstitutes.
Shut up! God damn it!
We don't have people.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're back. There we go. We're back. So unfortunately, we had to put the coffee porter to bed because a couple of sips and it was undrinkable.
Yeah. Be sure to check our Instagram for some awesome pictures of Dave.
Yes.
Oh, you did.
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Oh yeah. It's marvelous.
All right. I gave it a shot. I really did. But
oh yeah. Dave, Troy, and I took a sip and I checked
all
into
of us
Untapped
it.
And it was. It's my fault. I blame myself. I can only blame me.
It was improperly stored and transported.
Yes.
So,
yes. We abused it at every way. Or I abused it at every turn.
I feel like at some point, to be fair, we should probably give it a go again.
I agree. If I can find it. That was the last bottle they had. I hope it's still around.
Oh, so we basically like killed a unicorn to see what it tasted like and then ruined its preparation.
Yeah. It was Tower Tuesday's Infusion A Coffee Porter is what it was from Hop and Frog.
And now it's garbage.
And now it's dead. We killed it. So instead, I went skiing in New York over the holidays and brought back a couple of beers. The one that is left here is it Lloyd's?
Yes.
Lloyd's, yes.
From Lloyd's Christmas Ale.
We went skiing in Holiday Valley and Ellicottville Brewing Company put out a Christmas ale called Lloyd's, and I bought a 4-pack. I believe it is that's a beefy beer, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's
beefy.
The bottle is near you, Dave. I can't reach that.
Okay, sorry. Here, would you like me to read the description?
Or the ABV or whatever.
Yes, of course. I am not seeing it yet. Well, it says festively brewed ale with fresh ginger and fig.
Big. That's an interesting flavor.
Oh, yeah. It is an 8% ABV.
8%, yeah. So that's to be respected. Fig and raisin are a holiday. It's a common.
Yeah.
It's common to taste dark fruit in a dark beer.
Okay.
Especially like the Belgians. Belgians really like to have like it tastes like a raisin or a. Or a date, or a fig, or something like
gotcha.
That. And then a lot of holiday beers like to do that as well.
I think traditionally, I have never found a Christmas-themed beer that I'm like, oh, this is great. I love this. I think that whatever it is that the brewing folks are aiming for to theme up as Christmas is tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the flavors are fruitcake, but you don't want it to taste like fruitcake.
Right.
You want it to taste like beer.
Right.
With spices and fruit in it.
I like fruitcake.
Right.
The Ellicottville Brewery is a gorgeous little brewery in the very small but equally beautiful downtown Ellicottville, New York. It's south of Buffalo, about 30, 40 minutes. It is a ski town. The reason the town exists is because of Holiday Valley. Yeah. Well, not just skiing, but they have summer things too. They've got a ropes course and golf and all sorts of fun things. It is in a giant lake not too far, an enormous natural lake somewhere.
Right. But if you're in the Buffalo area or anywhere like near that end of upstate New York, you've got snow, like a ton of snow. Yeah. So, yeah, it makes sense that they would be skiing.
So anyway, the Ellicottville Brewing Company was, it's a beautiful little bar. It's a, high-end restaurant, and they have a gorgeous all-copper brewery there. It's astounding. And I think the original brewer, if I remember right, the original brewer from Ellicottville left to go start Southern Tier. And we've all had Southern Tier beer before.
Pumpkin.
And that's the highway you take to get to Ellicottville. You take the Southern Tier Highway.
Oh, okay.
So that's there's all sorts of relationships tie-ins. There. Yeah, tie-ins.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
This is okay.
This is very fruitcake-y.
It is. Yeah, there's a lot of fruit.
Cake.
And some maybe some cinnamon, but I'm not getting the other spices. I can drink this, but they come in four packs for a reason because it's at 8%, and and we don't. You should have one, and we're sharing one, which is we'll be all right. All right, guys. So let's give our six pack rating. Well, who are we gonna start with? Kathleen, why don't you start?
Six.
That was easy.
Six. The bad production, the bad writing, the death by rape. Done. Six.
Fair. Yep. Dave?
Five. It would have been a four, except the death by carrot rape, presumable carrot rape, really soured me to it. And that's because up until that point, I could have watched this movie and known it was bad, but still not hated it. But that scene made me dislike the movie. Yeah. I don't hate the movie, but five, right about, yeah,
that's five. Troy?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go five, too, because while this is bad, it's better than Beyond the Stars.
For sure.
So, like, we've set the bar so low that it's like, okay, this is five.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, this movie was a vacation compared to Beyond the Stars. Yeah.
And I did stay awake for this whole movie, so.
Astounding. I'm with you, Troy. If and Dave, this is not, and that's where I'm judging all movies from this point going forward. Battle Beyond the Stars, that was a stinker beyond belief.
A stinker beyond the stars, bottom, guys.
And I kind of go with stinker beyond the stars. I'm with Dave. I would have given it a four because whatever, it's a bad movie.
Right.
But then, Death by Rape. Go fuck yourself, movie. Yeah.
Don't rape make is me
never,
hate you.
Rape is never funny, and no. I think they were trying to be funny in that moment. And
oh, absolutely.
Especially with the one-liner
aspect
afterwards
of music and
yeah, and it's not funny ever.
I think that the filmmakers probably did not draw the line between this type of scene and other scenes where it's like the during coitus or post-coital like sort of refractory period, and then they get killed by Jason or whatever crazy monster. Here, they thought that, oh, let's make the killing and the sex the same thing. And miscalculation, guys, sorry. Don't do it again.
Don't do it. Bad. Don't do that shit. So I have to... We are all big podcast fans, and we listen to lots of podcasts. And I have to call out one podcast for making this episode of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night possible for all of us. And we can blame them squarely on their shoulders. My buddies up in Benton, Wisconsin, Chuck and Bug Emery, who have the Spooky Pinball podcast.
Spooky Pinball.
They always have a spooky movie trailer, so they randomly pick a spooky movie from the YouTubes and play it. And it's fun. It's fun to listen to. And I think both Bug and Chuck said, boy, we haven't seen that one, have we? Guess who thought it would be a good idea to watch it for them?
We're coming to get you, Bug and Chuck.
Wait, this was the movie they previewed?
They didn't. Well, they had the spooky movie trailer, but they don't do a review like this or any other. They talk about pinball and all sorts of fun things.
Right.
But part of their show is, you know, hi, we're this. We're going to play a spooky movie trailer. And they play the trailer for Jack Frost. And both of them said something about, yeah, we haven't seen that. We got to watch that. I went, let's do that for January.
So you volunteered us to be their canary in the coal mine here.
Dead canaries.
Yeah, we're dead canaries. Don't watch it.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate that.
So here's another metaphor.
You're no longer my favorite podcast out there.
that's really, really funny.
If it's so funny, why aren't you laughing?
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Bug. You guys are great. Appreciate that. So, Kathleen, if we want to wrap this up, go ahead. Let the listener, or, well, we might now have with the two of them.
Three?
Oh, are we up to three?
We might be up to three listeners now.
Wow.
So all right. Please let our lovely listeners know where they can send their hate mail to.
Well, dear listener, if you do want to send us information of other high quality films we could be watching, you can contact us by email at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GBBMNNpodcast. You'll be able to see a lovely photo that I just posted of Dave and the face that he's making from tasting that sad frozen porter that Pete tried to have us sample. And hopefully I can compress the film that Troy took of it blopping out of the bottle into a glass and post that later today. Or if you would like to leave us a message or follow us at the Facebooks, where we not only post about the high quality information that you're hearing here in this podcast, but other things that follow more along the favorable when it comes to films and that such, would be at Good Beer Bad Movie Night at Facebook.
That works. So with that said, shall we wrap it up, folks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so bad. I don't have anything picked out for February yet, but we'll talk about that off air and get to it. So, with that in mind,
show enough.